and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You just had a birthday?
I didn't have a cake for you.
I saw it early.
Yeah, 2 days ago.
Birthday?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
103.
103? Man. <Yeah. laughs> You're not 100.
I'm not rolling with it.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a Monday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe, Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. We've got you for the next 4 hours. We'll talk some Chiefs today. A lot of Chiefs on the docket today. Padded practice. Players out there going through the practice today. Started around 9:15 or so. Not sure when it will be over. I'm assuming it's going to be over sometime later in the 11 o'clock hour. They are limited in how many padded practices they have, but the padded practices can go up to 2.5 hours. I'm going to get, maybe it's the first one, so it's going to be different. I'm going to guess with the talk about Andy Reid's training camps and how much work they get done and all the reps, and it's tougher than other training camps. I'm going to guess that at the limited padded practices that Andy Reid will probably try to take advantage of all of the time he has on the field with the limited pads. So they can be on the field for up to 2.5 hours. I'm guessing that would be the case. So technically practice started at 9:15, but I think the CBA rule is as soon as players get on the field, which is right around 9 o'clock. So maybe sometime in the 11 o'clock hour, we expect to hear from the Chiefs. That will be Andy Reid, it'll be Mike Dana, it'll be Travis Kelce, and it'll be Elijah Lee that will be at the podium today. So we'll hear from Andy Reid, get his thoughts on the news of the day, and that is Orlando Brown reporting to camp today. We'll get his thoughts on that and other things with training camp, first padded practice, as we said. And also Jody Fortson is at practice today. No helmet, just working off on the side, and he has a quad injury, they say, so nothing too bad. So we'll hear from Andy Reid coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, and Travis Kelce as well, along with Mike Dana and Elijah Lee. We'll talk with Craig Brown in the noon hour. We'll talk with him in the Fountains newsletter about the Royals. We are looking at 31 hours away from the trade deadline right now. 31 hours, less than, sorry, 30 hours and 53 minutes to the trade deadline for Major League Baseball and the Royals, and we'll see if anybody else is traded by the Royals. Plenty of names are out there being talked about and connected to the Royals, but whether it's connected to the Royals as in this team is interested in this specific player for the Royals, or these players have continued to be talked about, does it necessarily mean that they're going to be traded? With Merrifield, Michael A. Taylor, Scott Barlow, Josh Stalmont seem to be the most likely candidates to be traded. And we'll find out, obviously, in the next 31 hours if any of those, or all of them, end up being traded. So we'll talk with Craig Brown about that. Salvi's return, 3 games, 7 RBIs, 2 3-run home runs, giving the Royals the lead in which they lost, and then giving the Royals the lead in which they won. And held on to the lead yesterday. So Salvi's return, the young guns in the fifth inning yesterday, the Vinny Pasquantino, MJ Melendez, Nick Prado, Michael Garcia that came through with the walk, the single, the double in that inning. That was kind of fun to see happen. And then, of course, you've got Salvi with the 3-run shot, as we talked about. So we'll talk with Craig Brown coming up in the noon hour. Mick Schaefer is in St. Joe, so we will talk with him in the 1 o'clock hour. His observations from what he saw in the first padded practice today. And we'll get some Learn Funniest Best coming up in the 1 o'clock hour as well. 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show. 913-912-4810 to weigh in and join us. Josh Briscoe here. What up, man?
Hi, Jason. How's your weekend? You're glowing today.
You know, it was fine. It was a good weekend. Right. Fine weekend. You know, nothing crazy. Nothing out of the ordinary. Nothing overwhelming or underwhelming. I was whelmed this weekend. It was just nice, low-key with the family.
Where does that rank on your like list of desired weekends? Because you don't always want mm-hmm. a we went to Worlds of Fun weekend. Because that's not very relaxing.
Very high. A weekend of just hanging, not dictated by times and have to be here at this time and this is on, other than when's the Royals game on? It's at this time. I'll watch it. I'll have it on. You know, when's the Royals game on Sunday? It's at this time, 12:30. I'll watch it. I'll have it on. Whereas, like, in about a month, it's MUK, UK State. When are their games? I will be in front of the TV. I'll be watching that. Then is there time between that I can do that? And then on Sunday, when is the Chiefs game? I'll be in front of the TV. Very much dictated by times and things like that. I enjoy the just hanging and going with the flow. What'd you do?
You got to plug back in sometimes. That was basically it for me.
Good. Good for you. You plugged in?
Got it. You plugged. Well, you unplug. Here's what you have to do. You unplug from the computer, from the Twitter, the constant tweet deck running.
Yeah.
And then you just plug into some form of power outlet, whatever that is for you. So I had a friend come over, hadn't gotten to see in a while. Renee and I just spent the day together yesterday. Accomplished absolutely nothing at all. I mean, off day from camp. I didn't even have to follow camp tweets yesterday.
I know,
I mean, that right there, that's a lazy Sunday straight from the cover of a Calvin and Hobbes treasury. It's the good stuff right
or
there.
Or Saturday Night Live. Lazy Sunday.
Either one.
913-912.
Our references are a little different sometimes.
A little bit. 4-8-10. All right, so the news of the day, Orlando Brown, he shows up to training camp. It's a little confusing when it's like, well, you know what? He didn't miss any padded practices. He shows up today. He ain't practicing today. So there's at least one padded practice that he did miss. But still, he shows up and ultimately 5 days of camp and really only four, because Tuesday was an off day and they were going through some conditioning things. Then they practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then an off day on Sunday. So four practices that he was not in camp for. In camp today, going through his conditioning drills to see if he passes the physical. And then if he does, he will be available to practice tomorrow. Does that mean he will be practicing with the team, or he'll go through more of the acclimation period that the Chiefs did last week? I'm not sure the schedule on all the padded practices for the Chiefs. I don't have that in front of me. But not there today at the padded practice. And there was a lot of question, obviously, as to when Orlando Brown was going to show up, when he was going to be at training camp. And RG3 broke the news that Orlando Brown was showing up to training camp. And so then I reached out to the agent of Orlando Brown, who I've been trying to get on the show for some time. He has expectedly, gracefully declined multiple times. And it's like, you know, hey, any update on Orlando Brown? Nothing. So as soon as RG3's tweet went out, reached out to him, he's like, yes, I can confirm. And I'm like, okay, so why? Why today? What's the point? And he said, quote, Orlando understands how important it is to be present and active during padded practices. He realizes this is a time period where team leaders are solidified. So that is from Orlando Brown's agent, Michael Portner, and Orlando Brown is there in St. Joe. So I guess, first of all, reaction, Josh, to the news that came out this morning, which was quite the surprise.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to see him this week. I don't know how many people said that they thought he would be in St. Joe. I've felt like he was going to be in St. Joe. We've done buy or sell. You know, I've talked about it multiple times that the timing to me, and we can get into the timing and everything, the timing, like looking at the calendar, didn't make sense for him to miss all of St. Joe. But regardless, I didn't think he'd be here this early. I thought it would maybe be next week or the week after that. But your reaction to Orlando Brown showing up to camp today?
It is maybe the most logical outcome for everything that we've gone through observing these last couple of weeks. Like, whenever we've had the conversations of, okay, there's a lot of money here that they're leaving on the table, but they didn't love the guarantees. Well, the Chiefs see Orlando Brown valued in this certain way, and Orlando Brown's camp sees him valued this certain way. I'm going to learn this cough button eventually.
You'll get there.
I'm going to get there someday.
It's fine.
It's a Monday, you know. My voice will be fine by the second hour. whenever you look at the logic that must have been in hand for Orlando Brown, for Michael Portner, for his all of his advisors and mentors and everything, it would have been very hard to follow the through line of, I just want another year to raise my value and then we can try again, if they did not show up at camp shortly upon pads coming on. We talked about that at the time. I said that if he's getting good advice, he can hold out, or he can play under the franchise tag, he can miss the beginning of camp, he can miss mini camps, but he needs to be there whenever the bullets start flying. That was always, I think, for me, the underlying logic that had to accompany everything that happened here. There never needed to be a villain. Nobody was ever being totally outrageous about their own or perceived value. A lot of the drama that came from that over those last couple of days, the day or two after the contract window passed, that didn't have to be all the weeping and gnashing of teeth. And frankly, I think the Chiefs had a pretty good idea that Brown was going to report at some point relatively soon because they just went, hey, we negotiated for as long as we could. We disagreed on my value. Let me play this year out for about $17 million. You get a good one-year deal for your left tackle. I get a chance to hit free agency next year when you're going to want to pay me all that money. And if he plays out this year well, the Chiefs will be just fine paying him whatever he deserves next year. Or they do this again. Or he finds his payday somewhere else. But ultimately, I think this path is the one that most led to a win-win scenario for both of these sides.
The one thing I do wonder is, were the Chiefs aware that today was the day that he was going to return?
No.
Right. Here's,
no, we know that it's not.
Right. But here's my adding up one plus one as to why I'm not sure that that's
What's
the case.
What's going on in St. Joseph?
The brain Windhorst fingers going back and forth. The original press conference today was Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, Mike Dana, and Roderick Johnson. The press conference now is Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, Mike Dana, and Elijah Lee. Originally, Roderick Johnson was going to talk with the media today. Yes. He's no longer talking with the media today. It's Elijah Lee. Maybe I'm reading too much into that. Maybe that's just the PR was like, okay, well, let's switch this guy up. Or they thought, well, do we want to go with Roderick Johnson? Then they remembered Andy Reid's quote last week when he said, Roderick, good to have out. You don't want him in the tent here talking to you guys because he doesn't say anything. But good to have out there on the field. Maybe they remembered that. And then they went with Elijah Lee. I'm not sure, but he was originally scheduled to talk today. News comes out that Orlando Brown is reporting to camp. He is no longer talking with the media. It is Elijah Lee.
We know that Chiefs PR at some level down the ladder did not know that he would be reporting today.
That's right.
I don't know how high the conspiracy goes. I don't know who ordered the code red, but somebody didn't know that Orlando Brown was coming back. It might have just been the PR assistant who, I don't know who would have written the sign. Maybe the PR person who wrote on the sign and who worked, but somewhere up the list there, somebody didn't know. Could it go all the way to the top? Who's to say?
Is it Orlando Gate?
It is Orlando Gate.
Press conference gate.
Yeah, it is. Andy Reid, extensive cover up. You know, we didn't talk to Orlando. You know, Patrick Mahomes saying, "Oh, we talk every day. I haven't asked him when he's going to show up or not." Okay, or if you say so. But he's here now. So I think things are pretty good. I think the Chiefs are pretty happy right now.
Yeah.
And I think Orlando Brown being here means that he's not pissed. And I think that is a major victory.
I'm good with it. I mean, obviously good with it because he showed up to camp and it's before the first preseason game. It's a couple of weeks before that first preseason game. I mean, 12 days before they get going. So in theory, he could play in that first preseason game. I would expect that would be the case, missing 5 days. If he had the flu last week and missed,
right,
you know, the four practices, we wouldn't be going, is he going to play in the first preseason game on the 13th? We'd be going, okay, he's back at practice, cool, at the padded practice, ready to go. So I expect him to be there available and ready to go in the first preseason game. The reason it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me timing-wise for him to miss all of training camp, and because they break camp on the 18th, so they return to Kansas City on the 19th. And looking at the schedule for the Chiefs, they play the Commanders on the 20th. So they break camp, they come back to Kansas City, they don't practice, they have a preseason game. And so then they return on Monday when they actually return and get back to practice on that Monday, because Saturday playing Washington, Sunday day off, Monday practicing. That's when, in theory, he would report, right? It would be, well, then he's going to be ready to go. They play their third preseason game on the 25th. So 5 days after. That's that quick one, quick turnaround. So if he reports on Monday, they would be playing the third preseason game on Thursday. There is zero chance he plays in that. Also, per CBA, you are allowed one padded practice after the third preseason game. So that means Orlando Brown, before game number one, would have one padded practice before week one against Arizona, when it's go time and you've got to protect Patrick Mahomes. So when we talk about shape and football shape and ready to go, the timing of it from that standpoint, when he says, you know, he wants all this money, he wants to prove he's this all-pro left tackle, and this is the year to do it, he's betting on himself. It wouldn't make sense to bet on himself to not be in full football shape with padded practices going into week one against Arizona. And then you're getting ready against NFL teams, the Chargers the next week, the Colts, the Bucks, the Raiders. The first 6 weeks are pretty crucial. I didn't know when he would show up. I figured it would be before the Commanders game, and he might dress for the Green Bay game, get a couple of padded practices in, then the Green Bay game happens, one more padded practice, and then good to go. I assume maybe he would play in that Thursday game, August 25th, against Green Bay. But all of this stuff was in flux and up in the air because we thought maybe he would have an agent before June.
Right.
We thought he would show up to camp if he didn't get his long-term deal done, because he doesn't gain anything by that. And then when he didn't show up to camp, I certainly thought it would be longer than this. But the timing didn't make sense for him to be fully ready to go week one.
Can you read the quote again from Michael Portner that he sent to you? It's the reason we call you Jason Insiderson.
What do they call me?
You know, it's really important the way you enunciate the last part of your last
sure
name.
That's
no, I said it out loud and I did hear it. It makes more sense when it's written down.
Yeah, I don't know that I would.
Jason Anderson.
I don't know
Insider.
That I would
is that better?
Pronunciate slower.
Is Jason Anderson Insider worse somehow than Jason Insiderson?
No.
They're both bad.
Jason Anderson Insider is not worse than Jason Insiderson.
We got him to say it. Beards, mark it. We got him to say it. This is the new imaging.
I walked right into it. Hook, line, and sinker.
What was your quote again there, Jason Insiderson?
Quote, Orlando understands how important it is to be present and active during padded practices. He realizes this is a time period where team leaders are solidified, end quote.
Sometimes I really do think we overemphasize. We're out there with just in the sweat and the heat. We're becoming brothers and we're getting bound together as a
team.
That
was a little Hulk Hogan there, brother.
There's a little bit of brother.
And I'll tell you this something, brother. When we're out there in padded practices, brother.
That's when we become. And then all of a sudden, like, your team trades for Melvin Ingram halfway through the season and he's the spark your pass rush needs. Like, wait a second, did August really matter? I think we can overemphasize that. I don't think that's happening here. I think there is something very real about, look, man, nobody, and I believe this to be largely as true as possible, virtually nobody is going to begrudge Orlando Brown for trying to get every dollar he could this offseason, or saying, hey, I'm not willing to long-term commit to this team because I want more guarantees. Patrick Mahomes gets it. Travis Kelce gets it. Everybody who has made a nickel on this team and in the NFL understands that. But I do think if you go, hey, you have $17 million just waiting for you, and this is not about your individual payday here. This is about how we get better as a team right now. You'll be well compensated for this year and then do whatever you have to next. I think this, though, being present when you don't even necessarily absolutely have to be. By the letter of a contract, the franchise tender that Orlando Brown, as of this moment, publicly, we don't believe he has signed. If he signed that, it could have happened this morning. Mm-hmm. They'll have to make a corresponding roster move.
It was that he will sign the franchise tag.
Right.
And you're right, the roster move then after that.
So we'll know whenever he officially signs, because somebody's probably going to have to get cut after practice today. But
what if it was Roderick Johnson?
That would be terrible.
That would be odd.
I don't think it will be.
It would be odd with all the love for Roderick Johnson, and he's the one that's got to go. But anyway, go ahead.
And Prince is already on the pup list, I guess, right? So Prince and Lucas Niang both on pup.
Prince is out longer than just the pup list.
But they're still on the, I don't know. You couldn't move either of those guys right now because they're not on the active either. So anyway, I digress. The point of all of that to say, I really do think there is something. And I even, just like in the responses to your tweets, which is kind of funny, like, people have gone pretty quickly, I think reasonably, from Orlando Brown, selfish, not there for camp, he doesn't care about the team, to like, oh, you know what? He got out there before he absolutely had to because he believes in becoming better in this time. He becomes in this team becoming better at this time. Andy Reid preaches the importance of all this. As you said earlier, Carlos Dunlap isn't at camp yet, right? Dealing with personal matters and related to the passing of his father back in January. It seems like the Chiefs are very understanding of that. I'm sure that came up in their contract discussions was, hey, I'll be there in a week. No one's concerned about Carlos Dunlap not hitting the on-ramp fast enough.
Yeah.
No need to for Orlando Brown either, because we know he's, if not practicing today, tomorrow, expect him to be out there. I do think that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, so the team leaders thing is interesting because it comes off as more of an individual thing again.
Yeah.
So it comes off as this is where team leaders are solidified, not necessarily this is where the team gets better and he wants to be a part of that, the offensive line overall, you know, and maybe I'm just reading too much into it, which, you know, those things happen. When I saw he understands where the padded practices, he wants to be present because the quote unquote leaders are, you know, a time period where team leaders are solidified.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he wants to be a team leader. That much we know.
It's
because
aspirational.
Yes, because that is the quote about being a team leader. Yeah. It was just odd that I didn't, when I was reading it, you know, with the email, and it said where team, I didn't know what the next word was going to be.
Where the team is built or solidified.
Starts,
yes, or, yeah,
when
yeah,
it's
sure.
team leaders are solidified.
Sure.
My first reaction was, huh, like that was the motivation of returning was, hey, if I'm going to be a team leader, I need to be out there. That being said, you've got to be good at your craft, know what you're doing, and be a big part of a team to be a team leader. The 53rd man that doesn't ever play is not the team leader. He right. can't be the team leader. Nobody's going to, what am I, shut up, man. You don't get in the, oh, really? What was it like watching the game? We were out there, but tell us more about what we need to do and work on and be better at, please, guy, because, you know, you didn't get the water to me quick enough.
Right.
So you've got to be really good at that. I said a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, I don't know. So we were talking with Adam Teicher, and all I can go off of is sort of my sensibilities and the way that I would view a teammate or having teammates or being a part of a team overall. That if Orlando Brown was in a contract dispute, had a current contract, had 1 year left, wanted an extension, and said, you know what, I'm going to sit out and I want to put more pressure on the Chiefs to be able to give in to some of the demands that I want. Okay, you are trying to gain something. There is something monetary, tangible that you could gain by doing that. There is nothing tangible that you can gain by missing training camp any day. So talking with Adam, like just sitting back and thinking about it, when players talk about teammates this and teammates that, and Orlando Brown's a great teammate, you know, Patrick Mahomes had said that, and I have no reason to say that he isn't. Those guys would know better than I. It's just odd to think about, if you put yourself in that position and you know your teammates are at practice and they're working out and they're going through all the drills and they're doing all of the team stuff and you're working out on your own, it would be weird as a teammate to know I'm gaining nothing except maybe pouting while my teammates are there doing that, sweating together, eating, studying, going to team meetings. And I'm just off on my own, working out, getting ready to be there. That would be odd. I had talked to Adam. Like, when I take a day off here, it's like, I don't feel great even taking a day off because then it's more on your plate. It's more on Beard's plate. Maybe it's Lebo doing some stuff. Maybe it's other people. There's extra weight for other people to pick up when that particular person isn't there. And when Orlando Brown wasn't there, it's, well, now Roderick Johnson steps up and they get used to him, but he's out there. Is he going to be playing? Is he the second stringer, the third stringer? Yeah, it's good to get some reps in there. They rotated guys on Saturday in the first team, so getting some of those reps. As a teammate, not being there just seems odd when it's all about the brotherhood and being next to the guy and getting in the dirt and in the trenches. But when all of that stuff's being built, you're off on your own. That's what was odd to me. Showing up today takes a little bit or a lot of sort of that, the teeth from that away.
I absolutely take the teeth of that away. I think there's some very interesting stuff in there I'd love to unpack. But Stephen St. John just tweeted that Patrick Mahomes just tweaked his ankle.
Shut up.
Adam Teichter says that Mahomes... It doesn't... Not, there's no... Everybody, pick up deep.
It's a tweak.
Deep breath.
It's a tweak.
The word was tweak.
Tweak.
And Adam Teichter, the aforementioned, just tweeted, Mahomes is getting attention from trainers on the sideline. Looks like his left leg. I presume that meant a tweak, and then he walked over to the sideline. But just wanted to make the point. Limped off the field during 11-11s. Steve Walls here says seems to be walking it off. I just wanted to mention out loud, we'll probably get a Patrick Mahomes based injury update somewhere in the 11 o'clock hour. I will continue to update what I see.
I'm glad that St. John said ankle tweet.
Yeah.
Tweak, excuse me. Uh-huh. Ankle tweak in the tweet. Because heart would drop, stomach would get nauseous if I just read Adam Teichter's that says, Mahomes is getting attention from the trainers on the sideline, looks like his left leg. The green face emoji.
Do you remember how you felt when his
yes,
leg
I remember exactly
was
how I felt.
Locked and
I remember
placed.
Exactly how I felt. Yes, do you?
I
know exactly where I was.
Yeah, I was.
I know exactly the moment.
I was here, and I stopped watching the rest of the game. The rest of the game didn't matter.
It did not matter to me.
Patrick Mahomes' knee.
I'm with you,
Sam. Like, I'm sorry. I'm just going to interrupt you with more Patrick Mahomes news.
Keep interrupting.
Sam McDowell says Patrick Mahomes seemed to tweak his left ankle during team drills, but he bypassed a trip to the tent. Appears to be fine. Stephen St. John says Mahomes is walking around somewhat gingerly, but he's not in the injury tent.
Okay.
So
not in the injury tent. All good.
By the time we're back from a commercial break, I expect Patrick Mahomes to have grown a third fully functioning ankle just to have a spare one.
Well, we know he has elastic tendons and ligaments.
Yes.
We know that from when you're talking about the one of the sickest moments that I have felt as a fan was there in Denver.
Huh.
And I'm with you. I don't remember what happened the rest of the game.
Blacked out.
I know
all about Twitter.
I was the walk back, right? The tweets, the maybe it's not as bad as they think.
If I remember correctly, I think that was the game where they sacked Joe Flacco like 9 times.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Boy,
it was.
Couldn't have told you that. For
you're
a
absolutely
million
right. They were in the backfield the whole time because it started off with the game where Denver went right down the field and just tore through the Chiefs, not even tearing through. It was like it was hot knife through butter, the first possession. And I remember thinking, yep, there's the defense again. Spag said it would take a while, but man, this thing is bad, because the Broncos are not good. And then it got worse.
There, I remember following on, again, I was here. Okay, Steven says Mahomes is going into the injury tent right now.
I mean,
so we'll see. I remember
to
during
get a
that
third
game,
leg?
I remember specifically during that game reading tweets of reporters who were leaving the press box to go down like inside the stadium to try to get like that was where the game was at. One more thing here, Matt Derrick. Patrick Mahomes got tangled up in traffic on his last rep. He's been shaking out his lower left leg. He's now going to the medical tent with Rick Burkholder.
Okay. So he didn't want medical attention. They eventually said, hey man, you're worth $500 million, let's at least look at it.
Let's
get to the tent, let's look at it. And no reason for Mahomes to be back out there for the rest of the practice, because you know they've got Chad Henne, and they've got, why didn't Mahomes hold out? I would like Mahomes to have held out until the first game against Arizona. That would be great. No, it seems like, you know, these things happen in training camp. And go into the injury tent, but maybe not all that serious. But yeah, I remember that night. Know exactly where I was, the exact feeling. I remember where my wife was, where my son was, everything immediately when that happened, because the adrenaline kicks in and your memory works better when all that adrenaline is pumping. Everything, every moment about that, and then laying on the couch just in a haze. In a daze the rest of the way. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling more Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Took Jason an hour and 40 minutes to find the stats. 2.5 hours to tell the story.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, so Chiefs of training camp today. Padded practice, first one of training camp. We think we'll hear from the Chiefs sometime early in the 11 o'clock hour, so not the full 2.5 hour practice with the pads on today, which You know, I guess a couple of ways to look at it. You got limited number of practices with the pads on. You could be out there 2.5 hours. Andy Reid's practices are typically more difficult, so maybe he was going to be out there for the full 2.5 hours, or it's padded practice number one. Probably don't want to overdo it the first day when you might have some sore necks and some bumps and bruises more than just a regular training camp practice. So instead of 2.5 hours, it looks like probably 1.5 hours is what the practice is going to be. So we'll hear from Andy Reid and Mike Dana and Travis Kelce and Elijah Lee. Also hearing from those out at camp that looks like Patrick Mahomes is fine. He is now jogging, so he is moving and jogging, and everything is good. Apparently, the pocket collapsed with some DL pressure, and he hurt his ankle, and then walked over to the tent, walked out of the tent with his helmet in hand. Looks like his ankle was retaped, and then jogging, and now participating in QB's the final drills of the day for the quarterbacks. So, all good. I feel like in the last 5 minutes, the progression from Patrick Mahomes is injured and they're looking at his left leg to Patrick Mahomes tweaked his ankle to Patrick Mahomes is not in the injury tent to Patrick Mahomes is now heading to the injury tent to Patrick Mahomes is now out of the injury tent to Patrick Mahomes is participating in quarterback drills in the final drills of the day. How he's walking and what he looks like, to me, I'm just picturing a young giraffe being born and sort of slowly, like,
yes,
bobbing back and forth, trying to get its balance, and people are just watching. Limp, a little bit, jogging, quarterback drills. He's walking. Oh, my goodness. Nature is so beautiful. Look at this thing. He's walking. He looks so good.
Does he have his helmet? Is he wearing it? Is he holding it?
Is it in his right hand or his left hand?
Is Rick Burkholder holding his helmet for him? Where is his helmet?
Is Salvi there?
Where is Salvador Perez? He'd be back by now. Rush him back as quickly as possible.
Why didn't Patrick Mahomes hold out?
If Patrick Mahomes played for the Royals, that ankle could be sideways, and he'd be playing again in 2 weeks. He wouldn't go on the 10-day.
Put the man in bubble wrap. He's got a yellow jersey. Not good enough.
Put his give him a yellow sock for his ankles. Tell his ankles they can't be bending around.
Doesn't the offensive line know you're not supposed to touch the quarterback? So if the defensive line pushed the offensive lineman back to the court, you're not supposed to touch the quarterback, offensive lineman. Josh Allen getting in a fight at practice because he got bumped by a defensive lineman. That was just getting bumped by one. Also, the offensive line, defensive line, pressured and collapsed the pocket. Thanks a lot, Orlando Brown. You know, had Orlando Brown been there, the pocket wouldn't have collapsed. We know this. Also, now that we know that, in all seriousness, now that we know that Mahomes is fine, hearing...
Knock
on wood. Yeah, okay, thank you.
This is the sound of my fingers crossing.
Thank you, John Gruden. Knock on wood if you're with me.
Listen, I'm with Patrick Mahomes' ankle.
Now that we know that he's back participating in quarterback drills, had his ankle taped, all good, then it turns to... Yes, the offensive line is missing Orlando Brown, but if the offensive line got collapsed by the defensive line, that ain't the worst thing in the world in padded practices early on. Just saying. In these incredibly surface-level observations of how good a team can be in the first padded practice when across the league it's first padded practice. So all of these, you know, NFL Network, ESPN, it's just videos of what's going on at practice. Twitter is just streaming in with different reporters from different teams about what they're seeing, and this person doing that and that person doing that, and Mac Jones sucking yesterday and even worse this morning when practice started and all of that stuff. You know, he gets it's all that's going on right now is all this information. It's information overload. It's just streaming in of NFL players and pads at practice. But that's what we have.
Nothing matters to me other than eventually getting a high-definition photograph of Patrick Mahomes' ankles both being exactly in the place they're supposed to be.
Okay.
I forgot what it feels like to be worried about Patrick Mahomes' health, even for these last 10 minutes.
Mm-mm.
Like, I don't believe that there is anything to be worried about now. I think that the news we have gotten is that everything is fine. They're being very cautious. Patrick Mahomes is in the clear. I believe mm-hmm. that to be the logical human being's response to what the information that we currently have. I'm not there yet. I need the Chiefs to come to the podium in a little bit, and I need them to say, Pat had an ankle. everything's good. Even that phrase might not fully quell my fears at this point, though.
Okay.
I am a bit more nervous than I expected to be on the first day of padded training camp practice.
Always. I mean, always. It's no matter what the name, right? No matter what the name or the team, the last thing you want to see is the flashing red scroll at the bottom with your team and breaking news. You don't want to see that. You just don't want to see that at this time. There's nothing else right now for the Chiefs in breaking news. Dunlap is in. Dunlap is signed. Orlando Brown has reported to camp today. Nothing left for the breaking news stuff around the Chiefs. So no more. No news is good news at training camp.
Absolutely.
No news is good news at training camp. This is the time just to hope that your team does not show up on the scroll at the bottom of the breaking news.
Unless Travis Kelce grows two more arms.
That'd be awesome.
Which would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Unless that happens, I don't want to see a Chiefs logo next to the flashing red and the words breaking news at any point until... I don't know that I want to see them near breaking news until, like, December. Because I feel like there's not a lot of room to it be improved upon. There is a lot of injuries that could still happen. I just want Patrick Mahomes and Jody Fortson to be healthy and happy. That's all I want.
Some more videos coming out as well a few minutes ago. Before Patrick Mahomes tweaked his ankle, there was a handoff to Jerick McKinnon, and Frank Clark just burst through and made the tackle. Quote, tackle for loss. It would have been a loss of about 3 or 4 yards on McKinnon, but then he had to let go, and then McKinnon, they always finish the run, right?
Sure.
Turns up and runs like, wow, McKinnon, he just broke five tackles.
And breakaway speed.
Good. Why can't he get the ball more? These Chiefs running backs, you cannot get them down. I am fearful of the defense and their inability of tackling. Mind you, he did beat Roderick Johnson. But that's what Frank Clark's supposed to do, is to just simply move Roderick Johnson out of the way and then get Jerick McKinnon in the backfield. It would be bad news if he didn't do that, right?
You would like that victory.
Yes, it's actually dog bites man for him to do that. It's man bites dog if he's stymied by Roderick Johnson. You want that to be the case. I also want to hear from Frank Clark. He had an amazing press conference yesterday or Saturday. Really good. Was it Saturday or
Saturday.
Yesterday?
Saturday.
Yeah, it was Saturday. They didn't do anything yesterday.
Yeah.
A really good press conference. Let's return and play some clips from Frank Clark. We'll hear some more from Frank Clark throughout the show as well. We'll hear from Andy Reid. We'll hear from Mike Dana, Travis Kelce, Elijah Lee at the podium when practice wraps up. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
The horn just blew. Can I get it?
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, so there were two really good clips from Frank Clark. I mean, the press conference was like 14 minutes, and it was all really good stuff. But a couple of the topics that came up for Frank Clark, the one that most people are talking about is this offseason, what happened. He lost weight, slimmed down, and one of the things he was asked was about the losing weight, what he did to lose that weight. Here is Frank Clark weighing in on Saturday, and this is pretty candid and revealing stuff from Frank Clark. Here he is weighing in on what he did. This is a longer clip, about 3.5 minutes, what he did to lose the weight.
One of the main things is just I cut a lot of red meat out. I stopped drinking liquor. So, like, alcohol is a big factor, you know what I mean? And a lot of things as far as weight, that gut, a lot of things, times a lot of fat, it's all sugar. So at the end of the day, I stopped drinking liquor about right after the season, honestly. It was like February, I had got sick, you know, I'd be having stomach problems and stuff, gastrointestinal problems. So I haven't had any since I stopped drinking liquor, and it kind of started making more sense, you know, as I'm going on, I'm training, you know, I feel my body is responding to me, I'm able to get up, I'm able to work out all times of day, all times of night, you know, and so, you know, it was a commitment I made.
Is there a message in that though? I mean, obviously, you know, when you say you stopped drinking liquor, were you drinking heavy? I mean, was it drinking to the point where?
Nah, I mean, I was just drinking liquor to the point where, you know, as a young kid coming into the league, you know, it's normal coming out of college. I went to Michigan. You know, I went to a big party school. I enjoyed it when I did. You know, it was fun. You know, after games. You know, those times in between. But you know, at some point you got to grow up. I got three kids. You know, I got kids looking at me. You know, every day. I got a 6-year-old daughter. You know, who's looking at daddy. You know, looking at me to make the right decisions. You know, I can't afford to be nowhere drunk, nowhere missing times, missing dates, missing anything that's important. And I got too many important events coming up in my life.
How much weight did you end up cutting?
And
how do you feel like it's helped you
so much? Well, last camp, I came into camp, I believe I was 262. And that was heavy. That was heavy. That was the heaviest I had been since really like my third year in the league with Seattle. I hadn't been that heavy. I haven't played under 260. I was playing like at 255, 250 for, the latter half of my career. And, you know, I just wanted to get back to that. I wanted to get back to feeling my feet. I feel like I wasn't feeling my feet as much last year. I wasn't as quick off the ball. I wasn't as explosive. And, I mean, it's obvious. You can watch the film and see I was way heavier. I had a gut. It was like I was looking sloppy out there, you know what I mean? And the type of guy I'm a professional. You know, I understand how this goes. So at the end of the day, you know, you got to come in a presentable fashion in everything that you do. And me as a professional, you know, I feel like I need to change my body. I need to change my mental. And that's exactly what I did.
Frank, you talked a minute ago about cutting out the alcohol. Mm-hmm. How many nights a week would you say you were drinking last year?
I wouldn't say it was nights a week. I don't really drink like that. It's just the fact that I drink. You know what I'm saying? You get to a Friday, you get to an off day or something like that, and you out at a restaurant. You know what I'm saying? You ordering shots, or you with your guys, you ordering shots. You go to the club in the summertime, off season. That's the biggest time. It's the off season. It's not really the season. You know, the season, I've always been the avid. I'm always focused. I'm always cutting stuff out, you know. But it's the off season that's the most important time. You know, that's what guys don't really understand. That's when y'all don't see us every day. And you know, we're not around coaches every day. We're not getting evaluated every day. You know, so that's when you're going out, you're going on vacation, you taking time off from working out. You know what I mean? So my thing was I needed to get back in the lab. You know, I don't know what everybody else is doing, but I know what I needed to do. You know I need to get back in the lab. I need to refocus, get back focused on my craft. And, you know, first thing getting back focused on my craft was, you know, getting back focused on my body, taking care of myself, getting back, getting my mental health back together, you know, getting back just right, you know, getting back in the right place so I can go out here and compete and have fun.
The weight that you lost, have you gotten your strength, or have you feel like you got your strength back?
Yeah, you gotta watch, man. One leg, one arm, I'm standing them up.
All right, so there's Frank Clark. There was a lot more in that press conference yesterday on Saturday. We'll play some more from Frank Clark throughout the show. But, I mean, it was candid. It was revealing. It was open and honest about what he had to do in the offseason and cutting out liquor in his life, which is really interesting because for 2 years he's been battling the gastrointestinal issues, the stomach issues that he's talked about. And he talked about getting with a nutritionist, the food he was eating, trying to get better at that. And the whole time, apparently, it was the liquor that he was enjoying. But cut that out, and that has been better for his stomach issues. And then refocusing his career in the offseason, where maybe he wasn't doing that before. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Hopefully, it all comes to fruition on the field, and he plays like he's turned his career around.